radio dramas and comedies captivated millions before TV took over as the preferred entertainment medium. And while its influence may have declined, even today there are those who enjoy and seek out stories told by radio that allow for the imagination to fill in the blanks and enhance the experience. WPR not only provides weekly opportunities to hear the old offerings again, our 9XM players also give live audiences around the state the opportunity to not just see a production, but to be part of the fun. Norman Gilliland is host and producer of old-time radio drama, and Michelle Good is a jack-of-all-trades around WPR and director of the 9XM players. Michelle, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks so much, Judith.
And Norman, great to see you as well.
My pleasure, Judith.
So, Norman, when was the golden age of radio dramas?
There are two answers to that, both of them pretty short. You could say now, while the 9XM players and so many other groups around the country are producing radio plays. But historically speaking, you can define it pretty neatly from 1932, when a lot of the mainstream dramas and comedies came on. And 1962 would be at the other end, when the last of the mainstream radio plays ceased production.
And Norman, how long have WPR listeners been able to enjoy rebroadcasts from that era?
Well, in my watch, I can't say about before that, but we started September 3rd, 1989, been at it ever since.
Wow. So you've got a 30-year anniversary coming up.
That's true.
And Michelle, what do you think it is about these stories that hold up for today's audiences?
Well, they're universal. I mean, most of them, if it's a mystery, everybody is familiar with mysteries, and that basically hasn't changed. The thing about them that keeps them fresh is they were timely and political in their time, and a lot of that holds up. The humor holds up. Some of the things, the situational comedies, life hasn't changed that much from a humor point of view.
There are some things that have changed, how we talk about things like gender and race. How do you address those issues when you're considering either airing it, Norman, or Michelle, if you're doing a stage play?
Do you want to take the airing part?
The airing part, yeah, is something that changes over the course of time as the bar, you might say, moves. And so I just try to be aware of, sensitive to those changes. And sometimes listeners will give me, what shall we say, updates as to what is proper and what is not. And sometimes we'll trim things out, and sometimes we'll just take entire shows out of the repertory.
And Michelle, what about doing it for stage?
Well, for the live shows, the major change is we take the language and just sort of adjust it to the times. For example, in the one we're doing, there was a series of lines where he was sort of berating her. I think at the time it was more of a husband and wife banter teasing. You would read it now more as like, boy, he's not supportive. He's almost borderline abusive. So we changed the line where he literally said something along the lines of, why did I ever marry you? And she said, I don't know. And he said, well, I'm stuck with you now, kind of thing. And we just smoothed it a little to say, why did I ever marry you? And she's like, because you love me. And he goes, yeah. So just to sort of sweeten it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, what's the appeal for you to stage some of these dramas or comedies from so many years ago?
To see them come to life is amazing. Hearing them, you hear all the laughter. Half the time you don't understand what they're laughing about because it isn't actually in the lines. It's what the actors were doing. We get a chance to bring that back to life, and not only what they were originally intending, but then take it to a whole nother level of our interpretation of it. It's really fun. And to see it become this time period as opposed to that time period, to freshen it in that way, it's really exciting. It does bring life back into the whole thing.
What are some of the challenges?
Some of the challenges are rewriting things. You run into things where once an actor is performing it, all of a sudden it takes on an entirely different meaning than reading it just flat in a script. With the live shows, I think one of the challenges we've definitely overcome is people come in expecting to see us reading scripts, standing there very statically, and we've found a way to really give you a whole play, blocked, moved, props, everything,
and but still
yet
hang on
still
to the scripts.
Having a radio show. Yeah. I mean, it's this really interesting hybrid that we've been able to create all on our own. The actors love it. The audiences really go crazy for it.
Norman, I think the concept of sound effects for radio performances grabs a lot of people's attention and imagination. What are some of the ways that you create that atmosphere and help listeners visualize what's going on?
Well, the prime example in this production coming up is Fibber McGee's Closet, which was one of the most famous sound effects in all of radio and a running gag that went on for years. And we just happened onto the 1940 script, which has the debut, so far as anybody knows, of that sound effect. And it's just, you can imagine the richness of this stuff coming out of this closet.
So
this
it's a packed
closet.
Overstuffed closet that gets opened and everything
that's
piles
right.
out.
And it sounds different every time, but it's an absolute catastrophe. And
it goes on and on and on.
And our version of it is fun to watch and it's fun to listen to.
Yeah, and Steve Gotcher, who's our Foley artist for this show, not only does he have a blast performing it, but he had a blast just putting the whole concept together.
We're talking with Michelle Good right now, jack of all trades around WPR and director of the 9XM Players, and Norman Gilliland, host and producer of old-time radio drama. We are talking about their current live stage production of There's Always a Woman. And let's talk about that show. Michelle, what is it based on?
Well, it is based on a short story, I believe.
That's right. Yeah.
From the 30s that was adapted by Orson Welles for the Campbell's Playhouse.
And in between, there was a movie.
And ours is based kind of on all three.
Okay. And what's the plot?
Well, who knows? I mean, it's such a screwball comedy mystery that it's hard to follow. But the premise is that this young wife of a district attorney becomes an amateur detective. And is she competent or is she incompetent and lucky? And it all kind of hinges on that. It's a lot of kind of husband-wife rivalry on the one hand. And, oh, by the way, there was a murder in there somewhere.
I think a lot of people would assume that you will give me the same answer to both parts of this question, but I know that's not true. I want to know how many performers there are and how many characters there are.
There are 5 actors and there are 32 characters.
And how does that work, Michelle?
It's fun. It's fun to watch. It's fun to do. But each character has a distinct vocal characterization, pitch, sometimes accent. And then we take it another step where we do physicality, too. So between costumes and physical posturing and how they carry themselves, the characters change. Some of the most fun things, and I actually blocked the show, arranged the show to visually take the best advantage of this. There are times when one actor is playing 2 characters who's arguing with himself or interrogating
They're
himself.
Surprisingly good at it. It's a little scary, actually.
Well, let's hear a little bit of There's Always a Woman.
Those are quality folks at the next table.
They're not quality folks. I bet they're just as unimportant as you and I.
For your information, Mrs. Reardon, they are people that anyone who wants to be a detective ought to know at first sight. They are Walter and Lola Fraser.
Faber?
F-R-A-S-E-R,
Fraser. I get it.
The other man, it's Jerry Marlowe, transcontinental copper. And the girl's Anne Calhoun. You've heard of Anne Calhoun. She's engaged to Marlowe, but...
Oh, there you are, going off again, Bill Reardon. I don't think you know anything about them.
Sally, please keep your voice down.
Oh, I'm not talking half as loud as they are.
So that sounds like a lot of fun, and you can hear the audience there
in
the background. Oh,
yeah. We actually, the show grew by, what was it, like
12 minutes. When we did it in Racine, it was like an hour 36 when we ran it, you know, in the dress rehearsal. And it ran an hour 48 in Racine because we couldn't believe it. Well, we can now, of course. There was so much laughter and applause. It was a real party.
So you have shows coming up in Minocqua. That's tomorrow night. And then in Oshkosh in October.
October 11th, I believe.
And what will audience members get from being there in person for those performances?
Well, all those visuals that Michelle talked about, the people changing character on a turn of a dime, and all of the action and the facial expressions and you get to see the Foley artist, too.
Yeah, and lots of slapstick. It's very, we call it a madcap comedy. It really is. I mean, there's a frenetic between all these actors, like, trying to fit in all these parts and running off stage and changing clothes. And there's a real frenetic energy to it that is not captured on radio.
And how can people get information about those upcoming performances?
They can go to WPR.org/presents, and there's information on both shows there.
And obviously, it would be great if people could go to Binakwa or to Oshkosh, but is there a way that they can hear the show if they can't make it in person?
We did record the one from Racine that is on the WPR archive on the old time radio page. Also, at each show, we do make a recording and try and get it up so people can go back and listen to themselves.
So can we ask you to tell us what the 9XM players might take on next?
Well, in January, the end of January, we're doing a small show here from hopefully Buck, our remodeled Buck Studios.
Two short ones.
The Plotters and Plan X, which is sort of science fiction, outer space,
love story. versus a couple of bumblers trying to get rid of their wives.
Oh, something for everyone.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Norman, Michelle, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
A pleasure.
Michelle Good wears many hats at WPR, including director of the 9XM Players. And Norman Gilliland is host and producer of old-time radio drama. You can learn more about and get tickets for There's Always a Woman at WPR.org/presents. The Minocqua Show just sold out, but there are still tickets for Oshkosh.